Here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Nick Roddy from WJR Radio, and Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Nick. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Don't all get excited at one time. I know the game was late Sunday night, but you should be rested and well-versed by now on Tuesday. Gentlemen, an exciting finish to a blah game as far as I'm concerned, but the Lions prevailed 26-23. Last second field goal by the man Ken Brown discovered, Jake Bates, and they go to 8-1 on the year. Please, Mike, acknowledge my greatness.
Ken Brown thinks he discovered the kicker. Okay, good for you.
Wow.
Oh, and I got taped that Mike O'Hara poo-pooed this man when he was with the UFL punt kicking, saying it was a minor league and it could never happen. Tell you what, man, he may not have made those kicks by about an inch each on each side, but he stepped up twice this year in big situations and made big-time field goals. Bow down to Mr. Bates.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't get back up. My back is killing me.
Roddy, oh. I think that you're made or broken by clutch kicks in your first year kicking, and I think he's established himself now as a clutch kicker.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a field goal, right? He's only missed one extra point all season, and not a ton of them were really clutch kicks until Sunday night when, I mean, he needed both of them from 50-plus. And, I mean, so, yeah, it was quite the find by the Lions. I mean, that's 2 years in a row where the USFL/UFL brought in the kicker, Brandon Aubrey from the Dallas Cowboys, also from the USFL. So, yeah, it was quite the find by the Lions.
Now, we may get into this at another time or another day, but this is why the NFL needs a minor league system that they are paying for, not just bumming off another league. Because to me, quarterbacks, kickers like that, offensive linemen that need playing time, that can't get it on a major league or NFL roster, but need to play somewhere. This is good for the league, and I don't know why they won't invest in a minor league system. They just want to pick from the colleges and go straight to pro. But guys like Manu, our fourth round pick, you know, he could be playing somewhere and developing. You know, Hendon Hooker could be playing somewhere and developing and then brought up when they're ready. We'll talk about that another day, but they need a minor league system.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think what they have now is fine. I mean,
what do they have?
They got the UFL, and yeah.
Well, they're not officially theirs. I'm saying they should officially make it part of the NFL.
They don't want to waste snaps on another team that's not going to benefit them. I mean, they don't want to have Manu or Hendon Hooker play a full season and get hurt, and then they're of no use to the Lions.
You don't have to play a full season, but if they bought that league, you could send guys there during the summer or spring for two or three, four games, you know, get some work in, especially quarterbacks. That's why these young quarterbacks are falling out, undeveloped, not good, but ready. I saw Trey Lance the other day in the Dallas. I know I'm digressed from the Lions, but we'll get to it in a minute. I saw Trey Lance the other day. And the regression from – he never played college, really.
He was never even good then.
But I'm just saying.
College, but I don't know why. We had unrealistic expectations for this guy.
Well, I expect – my real expectation was that he would be a professional quarterback. I didn't say he'd be great. But, Roddy, how close is he to even playing? He's terrible.
No, never. He'll never play.
And Roddy, what's the guy that was with the Jets, Zach Wilson? You know, these guys just they get thrown away. And we're going to see another one this week with Matt Jones. Another one that got pushed into the starting lineup too early. Now he's been thrown as a backup to Jacksonville, which probably ends up starting this week. But, his career is going nowhere.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? If you
look
at this man. Listen to this man. So if you invest money in these quarterbacks and first-round picks, second-round picks or whatever – and they're not ready to play right away, you can't just discard them.
Not everyone's ready to play.
Okay, let me ask you both this question. I've digressed from back. We'll get back to the Lions, I swear. Mina Kimes was saying this is the best – I want to paraphrase it because I didn't hear it personally. I heard people talking about it, that this is the quarterbacks have never been better than they are now. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
You were breaking up when you said that. Could you repeat that, please?
Well, first of all, we're going to get you another phone because evidently there's problems going on. But anyway, back to the real Mike, the iPhone 2 is not acceptable for this podcast, okay? All right? If you're not at the double-digit level, we have to get something for you. But anyway, back to the story. I'm just kidding, people out there. Nina Kai said the quarterbacking in this league now is better than it's ever been. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Overall, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Roddy,
the more skilled than ever.
The play. Forget about the skill. The actual play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm talking about a guy who's playing. Yeah,
so I disagree.
8 to 10 quarterbacks right now would have been all pros 30 years ago.
I disagree. I think that the skill level's better. They don't call plays anymore. They're pretty much robots out there, and I don't think they can hold a candle to actual quarterback play of 30 years ago. They're better athletes and they're better, you know, physical specimens, and they may do things better physically, but playing the game of quarterback, I disagree. Roddy, you have a younger viewpoint on that. What do you think?
I agree with Mike. I mean, you just look at how deep quarterback is right now.
Okay, well, that's the end of the K&M podcast for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back now. All right, I'll go back down there. We'll get back to that later. But we got to get back to the Lions because that's what people are here for, to hear about the Lions. 26-23, your thoughts on the game, Nick Roddy.
Ho-hum, nothing really to talk about. I mean, you can talk about the 5 interceptions. I heard Dan Campbell this morning on radio saying Jared Goff didn't play that poorly. I don't think he played that poorly either. I mean, he's really only responsible for 1.5 of those interceptions. The Hail Mary one shouldn't count. There was another tip pass, a Laporta interception. He was bumped off his route. I mean, if that's
the
one of the games,
the sun was in his eyes, the glove was too big. Oh, boy, we just give an excuse city.
So he should get credited for a Hail Mary at the end of a half?
I'm going to let Mike talk before I excoriate him. Michael,
I think what Nick is saying, and anybody who says anything else just doesn't understand what goes on. Again, things happen, and things, bad things, and some of those the stuff that happens isn't necessarily pretty and doesn't make the quarterback look all that great. But he is, and that to me was the case with our guy on Sunday night. That things happen. You know, tipped balls. Those are 2 interceptions there. What do you call it? One long one into the end zone. That's another one. That's not him. But really, it isn't. Statistically, it'll be like that, but it isn't.
All right, Mike, you're breaking up a little bit. Try to stay in standstill position there. We got that, but you're breaking a little bit. I'll get back to you and hope it clears up. Otherwise, we're going to have to recall you. I think, and you know, I'm not a Jared Goff fan. I'm not a hater. I'm not a fan. I'm you know, ambivalent right now to him.
What?
I think he's a good quarterback. Can he lead us to a championship? The jury's out, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the team thinks. I thought he played poorly, even if you say those interceptions weren't his fault. I think he's played poorly in a lot of games this year that they've won. Even the game when they blew out Tennessee, only threw for 85 yards. I didn't think that was a greatly played game by him. I just think that he's a product of the offense, and I don't know when it's time for him to win a game, can he win one by himself? And that's what I worry about. I hope we never get to that point where we have to find out, but that worries me. And I knew there was going to be trouble when Decker was out because, like I said, you put a little heat on him, and he's a different quarterback. And trust me, with Dan Skipper at left tackle, I would be scared too. And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
That wasn't even the issue. Dan Skipper did fine.
No, he didn't. Okay. No, stop. No, he did not. Because he gave up no sacks. Yeah. Just because he gave up no sacks, he did not. The left side of that offensive line was horrendous Sunday night.
Where did the pass rush come from on the fumble? Fumble interception.
That was the one. Right, that was one play by Decker.
Cool.
But yeah, but the whole other part of the game, Danielle Hunter was killing on that other side of the field. Glasgow and Skipper were horrible. And why do you think they didn't run? Where do you think all the runs came from, the good runs came from? They came from the left side. They came from the right side.
Yeah, why would you not run the Sewell side? Or as they pointed out on the broadcast, away from Sewell's side, so you can cut back into his.
You got to be able to run to both sides, man. I'm telling you, Skip was getting
You're going to go away from the best lineman in the league.
You don't go away from him, but if you can't run on one side of the field, something's wrong. And Skip was getting stood up like a folding chair. Mike? Did you see this?
I'm sort of with Nick on this one.
You thought Skipper played well?
I thought he played okay. I thought he held his own. Yeah, I think he's a very, very good run blocker. His size alone helps him do that. And I thought he held his own.
All right, I disagree, but that's what I'm saying. And I tell you what, this is an indictment on the two on the Kobe Scoresdale and on my new not being ready by now. That you're playing this guy off the free agent when those guys now, especially Scoresdale, he should be a backup by now and be active on game day. He's not even active on game day. And to me, that's an indictment.
I will say this, though. I mean, I was thinking about this during the game. They are getting really nothing out of this draft class, the last draft. With Terry Arnold, Enos Rakestraw, Manu, who hasn't been active, Sione Vaki, who's made a couple special teams plays, Wingo, who's been okay, but hasn't really made a play, and now Mahogany. I mean, this draft class, you compare it to some other draft classes out of Brad Holmes. I know Terry Arnold's playing just about every snap, and then that's a lot to ask for a rookie corner.
Yeah, but don't.
But they have gotten nothing out of this draft.
Yeah, but you got to admit, they didn't draft, besides the first round pick, any player that they thought would be a starter.
Why not? Why wouldn't they?
Because there were no positions open. There were no positions open.
They needed a pass rusher and they needed a backup lineman.
The backup lineman, right. They needed backup. They got backup. They're not playing, but they're backups. There was no starter outside of the corner. There was no starter outside of the cornerback position that they needed at draft day. You know, an immediate starter. A defensive end in the second round wouldn't have been an immediate starter. Maybe after guys got hurt, he would be starting
it
now.
It would be right now.
Well, now, yeah, but you can say that to any position once you draft him.
No.
If Gibbs and Montgomery get hurt, then Vaki starts. Okay, so you say, well, he'd be a starter. But no, I'm saying at the time of the draft, cornerback was the only position that was open that you would draft a starter. And after that, you got to draft best athlete or best player and go for there. I don't have a problem with that. I would have liked them to have addressed defensive end a little sooner, but they didn't. But I don't have a problem with that. And plus, you got to give players more than 1 year before you say the draft class. But I think the draft class is okay. I'm just saying the draft class from last year should be players this year, and they are. Those are the players that are players this year. But Scoresdale, to me, should be an active player this year, and he's not. That's a problem, Michael.
I think the old line, you got to wait 3 years to fully, you know, rate the quality of your draft class, and I think that holds true with these guys. But look, this is an entirely different thing. They were down there at, 28th or whatever it was overall, as opposed to, you know, 7th, 9th, 12th, and so on.
Right.
Obviously, you're not going to have the same. It stands to reason you're not going to have the same quality of the draft. But look, go back 3 years when right there in the fourth round, Amon-Ra St. Brown. But those kind of guys don't fall out of the trees every day like that. That was a great move by Brad Holmes to recognize him and draft him. But there's a little bit of luck in there where guys end up, I'm not saying that he's good because he's lucky. He's good because he's good.
And also, Amon St. Brown came to a team that was a bad team, so he got to play. He didn't even play early. Remember, he didn't play the first part of the season. So even then, he was not a starter till like the sixth, seventh game or whatever. He didn't even play early. Remember, he was hurt and didn't play early, and people were starting to say, well, he's not doing anything. Then he came on toward the end of that year. So even to a bad team, he wasn't starting immediately. It's no way there was only one position that you were going on this team that you were going to come in as a rookie and start. That was that cornerback spot. And they did it. And to me, Terry Arnold, for where he was drafted, and I go back to other first-round picks, Okuda, Slay, not first-round, but draft picks, Okuda, Slay, rookies. He's playing better than any of those guys did.
Yeah.
Who is? Better than Darius Slay with four All-Pros?
If you remember, Darius Slay was benched his first year, Michael.
He also had a knee injury that his first year.
No. He was benched before the knee injury, Mike. He was benched before the knee injury. He did not have a good first year. Terry and Arnold was started and he's played decent. He's played average, but a little better than average to me. Played decent.
Oh no. Come on.
He's played decent.
More penalties than anybody in the league. He hasn't made a single play.
Since week four, he's had one penalty.
Okay, but has he made a play?
Yeah, yeah. What's making the play?
The one play he made on Sunday. And I don't want this to be bashing Terry and Arnold.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. Sounds like a little bash fest going on here.
You're taking it out of context.
Seems like the Terry and Arnold bash fest here. Should I bring others in the bash? Or should I go to the other station?
I mean, the one play he made really should have been a penalty.
I'm not arguing that, but what I'm saying is you got a functional starter in your first round pick, and he's been getting better since the beginning of the season. I think that's a good pick.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And, Mike, back to you and Slay. Go check it out, man. I got the stats when I come in here. He was benched his first year, getting burned. Toaster oven. Milton the toaster. He was burned.
I can't believe I came back for this.
Anyway.
He was also a second-round pick and not a top pick.
Right, he was like a second-round pick, no doubt. Second-round pick. He's like raking straw.
A little expectation difference there.
Well, hold on. I don't have the number offhand because I didn't know you were going to say that. But his second round pick was a high second round pick. The first round pick with Arnold was a low first round pick. I guarantee the numbers. I guarantee 24. I guarantee their numbers are not within 15. I bet Slay was drafted. And if you got your computer to look at him, I bet he was in the 30s.
Yeah, he was 36.
Okay,
he
so you're only talking 12 picks.
He was the fifth corner taken.
Doesn't matter. It was 36 to 24.
No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it's not part of your
No,
argument.
I'm saying
okay.
36 to 24, basically the same.
It doesn't matter, though. Doesn't matter.
No, guys, it's a half a round. What are you talking about?
We're talking numbers. Chris Spielman was a second round pick when he got drafted, but today's draft, he'd be a first round pick because there was 32 teams now. There weren't 32 teams back then. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
He was the 28th overall, which he beat the first round now. So it's a difference. But anyway, we'll put that aside. That's more thing. Are you guys concerned with Jared Goff's play?
No.
Don't say it like it's not a question that needs to be asked. Are you concerned with his play? And I am a little concerned with it. I am a little concerned with it. I mean, he's giving you the percentage, the high percentage. But I just think, like, he missed J-Mo on a deep route during the Houston game Sunday, which would have been a touchdown. He underthrew it almost, got it picked off. Over the last few weeks, he's given the dink and dunks, but I just don't see the chunks in there the way I did earlier in the year.
Two weeks ago, they had 52 points.
And he had 85 yards passing.
Okay.
He had 85 yards passing. Let's not get it.
You can only score if you're at the 20-yard line and you score a touchdown, you only get 20 yards.
I know, but I'm just saying there were no chunk plays for him to get got that game because of the short field.
That's not his fault.
I didn't put it on one game. I said over the last few games.
Yeah, you want him to go backwards?
All I asked for,
I'm
a little worried. That's all I'm saying.
All right. You can be worried. Mike and I are
when that,
very calm
when that pressure,
and we're not worried.
When that pressure hits that pipe, I see a little vibration. That's all I'm going to say. I see a little vibration. I know y'all love him. I know you want to chant his name at the hockey game. I know you want to chant his name when you're in the mall. I know you want to chant his name when you're in the 7-Eleven. But I'm just looking at it from a point of where our weak links are now and where we need to worry about the pipe busting. And that's something to look out for in the next few years. I'm not saying it's a bust. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I see a little something there that I have to keep an eye on. That's all I'm saying.
Ken, you've been on this line since he traded for him.
I just was kind of weird.
You found something you can chew on and you won't let it go.
So I was on the line where he said, I thought I played well. I know where the bottom is. We all know where the bottom is. We've seen the bottom. But I'm just saying something to keep an eye on, gentlemen, for me, Uncle Ken. Right,
go ahead. Yep.
Keep an eye.
How about we bring up your boy James Houston?
Well, you it's your podcast too. You bring him up. Bring
yeah,
him
I am.
Up. Well, what about him?
I mean,
he had a pressure, and he had a cover sack, and he had a cover sack. And now all
that
of a sudden,
a cover sack.
That was a cover sack. He was
on one in space.
He was in pass defense when he got that sack. It was like he rushed the quarterback and got it. He came up out of the pad. That was a coverage.
I think you're a little. Yeah,
he did have one. He did have one nice go around the tackle on the play where the offensive lineman tried to grab the ball from Stroud. That play, that was a good play by him. But the offensive lineman tried to make it better by giving him the ball. But I'll give him that pass rush. But I got to see a little more. But I put it like this. He did something. At least we saw him on the screen. And we saw a little too much of him on the screen with his pants. And I'm not buying the Gatorade story either, that was Gatorade on the back of his pants. But we'll let that go to another time. Yeah, I've never seen brown Gatorade before, but if you guys got some, let me know, and I'll come over, and we'll look at it, all right? You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Kenny, I'd rather you just go take a look at it and tell me what you saw.
Put it like this. No wonder he was playing out wide after that play. No. He wasn't playing in line.
It was something else, Kenny.
He was playing. When you talk about the wide nine, that was definitely the wide nine for him. So
it's no wonder that the guy playing next to him.
I wonder why. Now we know why Zadarius didn't play. He said, "No, I don't want to play. I don't want to play this week." Speaking of Zadarius Smith, great team guy, man. I hope it doesn't go downhill from here. But my first impression on him, he's a great team guy, helping the team out over the game, and boisterous and a good personality. I think that's a good person to put in that locker room.
I would agree with that. I think that's a good, do we call that a signing? A trading?
Trading.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think, look, it's an area where they needed help. They can't go wrong. They can't go too far wrong if he doesn't do anything, because they'll be stuck right where they were before he got there. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to add to that group, and I think he's going to help the defense overall.
Roddy.
Yeah, I mean, kudos on Dan Campbell to give him a bye week when I'm not sure how many other coaches in the NFL would give him an extra week when instead of playing him 18 games and getting everything he could out of him. I mean, you gave him a nice week off. You could have used him, but I guess, like Dan Campbell said, they had 7 wins coming into the game. They got 11 more to go, and that includes the Super Bowl. So.
All right.
They're playing the long game.
I'm glad you brought that up. Another beef. This is KB beef day, evidently, because I got a lot of beefs from a game that they won.
You're a lot of beef for an 8-1.
I know.
Beef.
I got a lot of beef. For nothing, quit chasing points before the fourth quarter. I was upset that they didn't kick and went for 2 in the third quarter. Why are you going for that? Just get your points, and then in the fourth quarter you want to go for 2 after a touchdown or something like that, that's fine. You lost a point there, and that could have been crucial at the end of the game. You could have, won by 1 point instead of having it tied. Do you guys agree with that? These chasing points early in the, in the first 3 quarters?
Not necessarily. I think it's a situational thing, and if you're behind the way the Lions were, and you want to make it a one play, eight.
But what's a one-score game in the third quarter, Mike? When they come out, if they get 2, it'll cut the lead to 16. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I think
catching up when you have the opportunity. That was the opportunity.
But the game's not over till the fourth quarter. What you did was you had a chance to get another point, and then in the fourth quarter, I can see, okay, fourth quarter, we got to chase points. We need points. But before, it used to be that way. Before the fourth quarter, nobody would go for 2.
I mean, you didn't expect to shut them out in the second half. So, I mean, I think you thought, okay, if we make this a one-score game, if they score again, we'll still only be 2 scores back. If they kick a field goal, we're still in good shape. I like the idea of going for 2 there. You do not expect to shut this team out.
Yeah, but for me,
23 points in the first half.
Yeah, but me, 1 point, 8 points is not a one-score game. I'm sorry. I know officially it is, but it's not. No, it's not. 7 or under is a one-score game.
Breaking
I'm sorry.
News.
8 is not a one-score game.
Breaking news.
8 is not a one-score. 8 is a technical one-score game. It's not a one-score game because of the percentage of getting a 2. It's just not. 7 or under is a one-score game. So you can talk that math all you guys want, but I don't think you chase. I don't think you chase points. I don't think you chase points before the fourth quarter.
Who's on the side of math here?
Eight is a one score game. No, it's not. Eight is not a one score game. And plus, like I said, in the third quarter, oh, I'm one score down. Eight. It's 8 minutes left in the third quarter. I'm gonna score a touchdown and go for two, and we're tied. So what? You got a whole another quarter and a half. You know, it's just ridiculous. That burned me up the other night because you just gave a point away. It should have been 23-14. Now it's 23-13. Now you got to get 10 before you just take the point, and now you're 9 down.
So what, Kenny? So what are you saying? What do you tell the guys? Now look, we're going to try and get a point further away here. So
no, the risk reward. You don't need to risk it until the fourth. Now, like I said, do what you want to do, Dan. That's why we have San Francisco to think about. Do what you want to do. Right. Do your craziness.
8-1. So
they're 8-1. Look,
it worked out.
Right now, nobody's listening to Uncle Ken. I understand 8-1, but I want to be 11-1. I want to be 12-1. I want to be 13-1. And the little things like this could go. In all truthfulness, and you guys got to admit it, they should have lost this game. They didn't come out good. They got beat down early. I think it was more of what Houston didn't do in the second half than what Detroit did in the second half.
Didn't get its butt beat by the Lions? Yeah.
Your butt beat is you got a wide open guy and you decide to lob it to him where Carlton Davis can get under it instead of just throwing it over there for an easy touchdown. Yeah, the Detroit really did that. No, that was Stroud. It was all him. So let's just come up with the facts here, people. You got outplayed by them.
Incomplete pass. That's a fact.
Wasn't incomplete pass. It was an interception.
Incomplete.
No, it was an interception. But it should have been a touchdown. But my point being, let's not – I wish I could curse on this podcast. I can't. Because the curse word I want to say, I have a couple of agencies coming out. I had to go – put it like this. I have to go to training. I'd have to go to a seminar if I say what I want to say. So I'm not doing it. But quit jocking yourselves,
you're
people.
Searching for it.
I know I'm searching for a word I can use. Quit jocking yourself and thinking that the Lions can do no wrong. They can't do wrong even at 8-1. And I just think they came out flat. I don't think that was a game. That's one of those games that the Lions always lose. This time they won it because they are a gritty team. But these are things you watch out for. And I'm worried about the next two games because you're playing inferior opponents, which is Jacksonville at home, Indianapolis on the road, inferior opponents, and if you come out lackadaisical and they guys believe they can win, you're going to be in games where you should be putting the medal to them and get out of there. So we'll see how that works out. Jacksonville, I'm not too worried about since Trevor Lawrence is not playing. But, you know, Mike, come on, man. What are we doing here?
Look, I think the Lions have shown that they're a team that really doesn't take many days off. Practices off, many anything off, and I'm not 100% sure of anything, but I'm as close as you can get. But the Detroit Lions will play Jacksonville as hard as they can.
Yeah, they always play hard, but I just think that you just can't throw the helmets out there and think the other team's going to lay down for you.
Who says they do?
I just looked like to me that Houston game. I think that the way they came out to me, I don't know if you saw it, Roddy, or not. I just thought that. You know, we putting the helmets out. We're the 7-1 Lions, and you must bow down. That's the way the game started off to me. That's the way I saw the play. I'm talking from play calling too. I'm talking about Ben the Great Johnson. You know, his play calling was.
I'm talking about him too.
Wizard of Allen Park. I was a little question on his play calling.
We had Lomas on Monday morning just after they landed, and he kind of said the same thing. He said it was one of Ben Johnson's worst called games.
Yeah.
I don't think they rolled the helmets out and said, okay, we're the 7-1 Lions. We're going to beat you. I mean, this was really Houston's biggest game of the year.
Yes, it was.
They had just lost to the Jets. I kind of got embarrassed on Thursday night. They had extra days off.
Right.
This was their biggest game.
I agree.
They came out ready to roll, and they were stronger and faster in the first half. The Lions outlasted them.
I agree. And Michael Hare, Mr. The Sun Is Always Shining, will come out tomorrow. They just didn't match that aggressiveness at the beginning of that game.
I'd agree with that.
Okay. See, Mike, we have things in common. We can get together and agree on things.
I just can't take anymore.
But we definitely going to disagree on that skipper thing, and I want you guys to go back and watch that game because, like I said, besides getting folded like a lawn chair and having guys, because he's 6'9", have to go around him, I saw nothing great out of what he did. And that's another thing, too. I'm glad you brought it up. If Taylor Decker misses a game, you put Sewell on that side of the line. We don't do this again. That's another cocky thing they got away with. Don't do that. You put somebody on the blind side that can protect that guy. Because I'm telling you right now, Danielle Hunter was a couple of rushes away from taking him down. Be careful with that. Do you agree, Mike?
Did Houston have any recorded sacks in that game?
No, but Danielle had a bunch of pressures. I saw the pressure thing today. He had a bunch of pressures.
In other words,
a bunch of pressures. And there was another guy that had a bunch of pressures. Their defensive line outplayed that Lions line in that game. Now, you can sit there and pretend you didn't see it. And we can, like, the world is full of roses. If you guys want to do that, we'll just talk about the 83 Rose Bowl. But I'm trying to tell you what I saw.
The 83 Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I'm just picking out a bowl game over the history of the Tournament of Roses parade that you would like, because that was close. All right. Any other thoughts before we move out? Because I got other work to do. I got to get back to what I'm doing. Any other thoughts, Roddy?
No, this has been fun.
Yes, yes. And Michael Hare, any closing thoughts on the Lions' 26-23 victory over the Houston Texans?
Oh, they won? Oh, my God. I thought they lost, by the way we're talking about it.
Oh, before we go, I got to tell you this. Campbell was on the other station there where he does his weekly interview, and he was talking about Za'Darius Smith and why he didn't play and whatever. And Campbell says, well, you know, he didn't have a week off. He got to be ready because we got 11 more games.
Yeah, I said that.
11 more games. I was trying to see, does that count them winning the bye and then Super Bowl, or is that they go to the NFC Championship game without the bye? I got to count the 11. But evidently, Campbell said himself, it's Super Bowl.
Well, this is a math podcast because apparently 8 is not a one-score game. So we got to work on our math over here.
Notice Mike has not spoken in the last 4 minutes. What's I got him on that map? Mike, you can put your shoe back on now. You done counting.
Let me know what they're going to do this next week. Next week.
All right.
Just let me know.
Well, we'll come back Friday. And plus, Mike, I got the results of our question, and they like Lions aficionado for you. I got the votes back in. So that's Lions what you are known aficionado by now, a Lions aficionado.
What I've always wanted.
That's all you get. Roddy, no name for you yet because you got to come 4 times in a row before you can get a clearance on the name.
Let's make sure we count that up too.
All right. That's it for the Gator Podcast. Come back Friday when we'll come and give our game predictions. You know what those two are going to predict because the Lions can do no wrong with them. But I will give you an actual prediction on what's going to happen in this week's game. So join us here Friday on the Gator Podcast. Alexander Zalone, Mondays on WGR Mitchell Show at 4:30. Check them out. And see us Friday on the game preview.